He caught her before she could reach her clothing, and she struggled playfully for a while in his arms until his mouth clamped down on hers. Then she gave herself up to him completely. While he kissed her, his hands ran down her back and over her wet, glistening buttocks. Pressing herself against him, she moved her feet apart and spread her thighs, inviting him to explore the secrets of her body. She groaned with desire as his hand cupped her sex gently. Boris felt his anger mingle with the perverse voyeuristic thrill of watching his own wife being taken by another man. A devil's brew of emotions bubbled up inside him. He felt his loins engorging and stiffening almost painfully with excitement, but at the same time his rage shook him like the branch of a tree in a gale of wind. The lovers sank down onto their knees, still locked together. Tessé fell backwards and pulled him over on top of herself. Boris called out loudly, "By God, McNamara, you will never know how ridiculous you look with your bare backside in the air like that." Mech reacted as swiftly as a leopard surprised on his kill. With a blur of movement, he flipped over and reached for the AK-47. Although Boris was ready for him, covering him with the .30-06, aiming at the back of his neck when he shouted to him, Mech was so quick that he had swept up the AK from where it lay and had pointed it at Boris's belly before he could move. Mech pressed the trigger in the same instant as the muzzle came to bear. The firing pin fell on the empty chamber with a futile click, and the two men stared at each other across the gravel beach, both with their weapons levelled. Tessé was curled naked where Mech had left her, her dark eyes liquid with pain and horror as she watched her husband and realized that Mech was about to die. Boris chuckled softly, throatily. "Where do you want it, Mech? How about I shoot the head off that filthy black tool of yours, huh? While it is still standing up in the air like that?" McNamara's eyes darted away from his adversary's face, back towards the mountain. And Boris realized that his guess had been correct. Mech had some of his men up there, but they were keeping out of view of the beach while their commander indulged himself. "Don't worry about them. You will both be dead long before your chimps can get down here to save you." Boris chuckled again. "I am enjoying this. You and I had an appointment once before, but you broke it. Never mind. This is going to be even more fun." He knew that it was not wise to delay with a man like this. Mech had made one mistake, and it was highly unlikely that he would make another. He should blow his head off now, and that would give him a few minutes more to deal with Tessé. But the temptation to gloat over him was too strong. "I have good news for you, Mech. You will live a few seconds longer. I am going to kill the whore first, and I am going to let you watch. I hope you enjoy it as much as I am going to." He sidled away from the shelter of the boulder, edging towards where Tessé lay curled on the gravel beach. She was turned half away from him, trying to cover her breasts and her pubic area with her hands, too small and delicate for the job. Even as he approached the woman, Boris was watching Mech with his full attention. Mech was the danger, and he never took his eyes off him. It was a mistake. He had underestimated the woman. While pretending to turn away from him modestly, Tessé had reached down between her thighs and found a round, water-worn stone that fitted neatly into her small fist. Suddenly she uncoiled her lithe body and used all the strength of it to hurl the stone at his head. Boris caught the movement from the corner of his eye and flung up his arm to shield his head. The stone, flying with surprising force at close range, never struck its target. Instead, it caught the point of Boris's upraised elbow. His sleeves were rolled up high around his biceps, and there was no padding to cushion the impact of the stone. His arm was bent and flexed, the thin covering of skin drawn tightly over the bone of the joint. The head of the ulna cracked like glass, and Boris howled at the excruciating agony. His hand opened involuntarily, and his forefinger jerked away from the trigger without the strength to fire the shot he was aiming at Mech's belly. Mech rolled to his feet, and before Boris could change the rifle to his other hand, he disappeared behind the angle of the giant boulder. With his left hand, Boris swung the butt of the rifle at Tessé's head, knocking her backwards into the sand. Then he thrust the muzzle into her throat, pinning her there while he shouted angrily, "I am going to kill her, you black bastard! If you want your whore, you'd better come and fetch her!" The pain of the shattered elbow rendered his voice hoarse and brutish. From somewhere behind the boulder, McNamara's voice rang out strongly and clearly, calling a single word in Amharic that echoed along the cliffs. Then he spoke in English. "My men will be here in a moment. Leave the woman, and I will spare you. Harm her, and I will make you plead for death." Boris stooped over Tessé and dragged her to her feet, with his good arm locked around her throat. He held the rifle in the same hand, pointing it over her shoulder. The hand of his injured arm had recovered sufficiently from the first shock to be able to hold the pistol grip and to manipulate the trigger. "She will be dead long before your men get here," he shouted back, as he started to drag her away from the boulder. "Come and get her yourself, Mick. She is here where you want her." He tightened his lock around her throat, choking her until she struggled and gasped, tearing at his arm with her nails and leaving long red welts across the tanned skin. "Listen to her. I am crushing this pretty neck. Listen to her choking." He tightened his grip, forcing the sounds of distress out of her. Boris was watching the corner of the boulder where Mech had disappeared. At the same time, he was backing away from it, giving himself space in which to work. His mind was racing, for he knew that he could not escape. His right arm was barely usable, and there were too many of Mech's Schufter companions. He had the woman, but he wanted the man as well. That was the best trade that he could hope for. Both of them. He had to have both of them. He heard a shout, a strange voice from higher up the slope. Mech's men were on their way. He was desperate now. Mech was not going to be drawn. He had not heard him speak or move for almost 2 minutes. He had lost him. By this time he could be anywhere. "Too late," Boris realized. "I am not going to get him. Only the woman. But I must do it now." He forced her to her knees and stooped over her, shifting the lock of his arm around her throat. "Goodbye, Tessé," he grated in her ear. He tightened his arm muscles and felt the vertebra in her neck arched to breaking point. It needed only an ounce more pressure. "It is all over for you," he whispered, and began the final pressure. He knew from long experience the sound that the vertebra would make as they gave, and he tensed himself for it, poised for that crackle, like the breaking of a green branch, and the slack weight of her corpse in his grip. Then something crashed into his back with a force that seemed to drive in his backbone and crush his ribs. Both the strength and the direction were entirely unexpected. It did not seem possible that McNamara could have moved so far and so swiftly. He must have left the shelter of the boulder and circled out through the scrub. Now he had come at Boris from behind. His attack was so savage that the arm that Boris had wound around Tessé's neck opened. She drew in a wheezing, strangled breath and twisted out of his grip. Boris tried to turn and swing the rifle around, but Mech was on him again, seizing the rifle and trying to wrest it from Boris's hands. The Russian's finger was still on the trigger, and a shot went off while the muzzle was level with Mech's face. The detonation stunned him for an instant, and he released the rifle and staggered backwards with his ears ringing. Boris backed away from him, struggling with the weapon, trying to open the bolt and crank another cartridge into the chamber, but his crippled right arm made his movements clumsy and awkward. Mech gathered himself and charged head down across the gravel beach. He drove into Boris with all his weight, and the rifle flew out of the Russian's hands. Locked chest to chest, the two of them spun round in a macabre waltz, trying to throw each other, wrestling for the advantage, until they tripped and went over backwards into the water. They came to the surface, still grappling and rolling over each other, first one on top and then the other, a fearful parody of the lovemaking which Boris had watched a few minutes earlier. Punching and straining and tripping each other, they struggled in the shallows. But every time they fell back into the water, the slope of the bank beneath their feet forced them further out, until, when they were waist-deep, the main current of the Nile suddenly picked them up and swept them away downstream. They were still locked together, their heads bobbing in the tumble of waters, their arms thrashing the water white around them, bellowing at each other in primeval rage. Tessé heard the men that Mech had called coming down through the scrub at the run. She snatched up her shamma and pulled it over her head as she ran to meet them. As the first of them burst onto the gravel bar with his AK cocked, she shouted to him in Amharic, "There! Mech is in the water! He is fighting the Russian! Help him!" She ran with them along the bank. As they drew level with the two men in midstream, one of the men stopped and levelled his AK, but Tersey rushed at him and struck up the barrel. "You fool!" she shouted angrily. "You will hit Mech!" Jumping to the top of one of the riverside boulders, she shaded her eyes against the dazzling reflection of the low sun off the water. With a sick feeling in the pit of her stomach, she saw that Boris had managed to get behind Mech and had a half-Nelson hold around his throat. He was forcing Mech's head under the water. Mech was struggling like a hooked salmon in his grip as they were swept into a long chute of white water. Tessé jumped down from the rock and ran on down the bank to the next point, from which she could only watch helplessly. Boris was still holding Mech's head under water as they were borne together into the head of the chute. Fangs of black rock flashed by them on each side as they gathered speed. Mech was a powerful man, and Boris had to exert every last ounce of his own strength to hold him, and he knew he could not do so much longer. Suddenly Mech reared back, and for a moment his head came out. He sucked a quick breath of air before Boris could force him under again, but that breath seemed to have renewed his strength. Desperately, Boris looked ahead to the trail of the chute as they sped towards it. There were more rocks there. Boris picked out one great black slab over which the waters poured in a standing wave 3 feet high. He steered for it, kicking and hauling Mech's body around with the last of his strength. They flew down the slope of racing water, with the rock slab waiting for them at the end like a lurking sea monster. Boris continued to wrestle with Mech until he had turned him into a position ahead of him. He planned to steer him into a head-on collision with the rock and use Mech's body to cushion his own impact. At the very last moment, before they struck, Mech dragged his head out from the surface, and as he grabbed a precious lungful of air, he saw the rock and realized the danger. With a single violent effort, he ducked forward below the surface again and rolled over head first. It was so powerful and unexpected that Boris was unable to resist. Instinctively, he maintained his lock around Mech's neck and was carried forward over his back until their positions were reversed. Now Mech had managed to interpose Boris between himself and the rock, so that when they slammed into it, it was the Russian who bore the full brunt of the impact. Boris's right shoulder crunched like a walnut in the jaws of a steel cracker. Although his head was still under water, he screamed at the brutal agony of it, and his lungs filled with water. He relinquished his grip and was flung clear of Mech. When he came to the surface, he was floundering like a drowned insect, his right arm shattered in two places, his good arm flailing weakly, and his sodden lungs wheezing and pumping. Mech exploded through the surface only a few yards behind him. Looking around quickly as he strained for air, he spotted Boris's bobbing head almost immediately, and with a few powerful overarm strokes came up behind him. Boris was so far gone that he was not aware of Mech's intentions, until he seized his shirt collar from behind and twisted it like a strangler's garrote. With his other hand below the surface, Mech secured a grip on the back of Boris's wide leather belt and used it like the helm of a rudder to steer him towards the next reef of rocks that was boiling the water ahead of them. Through the waterlogged lungs, Boris was trying to shout invective at him. "Bastard! Filthy swine! Black filthy!" But his voice was barely audible above the rush of the waters and the growl of the rocky spur that lay across their path. Mech rode him head first into the rock, and he felt the impact transferred through Boris's skull to jolt the straining muscles of his forearms. Instantly, Boris went slack in his grip. His head lolled, and his limbs became as limp and soft as strands of kelp washing in the surf. As they tumbled into the next run of the open water, Mech used his grip on the back of Boris's collar to lift the Russian's face above the surface. For a moment, even he was struck with the horror at the injury that he had inflicted. Boris's forehead was staved in. The skin was unbroken, but there was a deep indentation in his skull, into which Mech could have thrust his thumb. And Boris's eyes bulged, pushed out of their sockets like those of a battered doll. Mech swung the inert carcass around in the water and stared at the broken head from a distance of only a few inches. He reached up and touched the depressed area of the skull with his fingertips and felt the shards of splintered bone grate and give beneath the skin. Once again, he thrust the shattered head below the surface and held it there, while he crabbed sideways across the current towards the bank. There was no resistance from Boris, but Mech kept his head submerged for the rest of that long, tortuous swim across the Nile. "How do you kill a monster?" he thought grimly. "I should bury him at a crossroads with a stake through his heart." But instead he drowned him 50 times over, and at the next bend of the river they were washed into the bank. Mech's men were waiting for him there. They supported him when his legs sagged under him, and they helped him up the bank. When they started to drag Boris's corpse out of the river, Mech stopped them abruptly. "Oh, leave him for the crocodiles. After what he has done to our country and our people, he deserves nothing better."